So I'm Tara. I'm a conversion copywriter. So I work with anyone who's looking to launch an online course or an online product. I would love to connect with you at my website. You can find me at tcfcopy.com, or feel free to send me an email at tara@tcfcopy.com.
This is the perfect time to start a side hustle. And this is also the perfect time to start a podcast about starting a side hustle. Kick it. The dream is free, but the hustle is sold separately. This is the Living My Side Hustle podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. Nice to have everyone here. It is Living My Side Hustle, and we're here today with Tara. Tara's got a new website, and exciting to see all these great things happening for Tara. Tara's here on the podcast to talk about her background. She is the awesome tutor who can help you, not only with learning all the stuff you need to learn for school, but with copywriting. And there's so many things we can talk about today. Tara, welcome to Living My Side Hustle. Nice to have you here.
Yeah. Thanks for having me today.
Excellent. Okay. So I love asking this question right off the bat. I usually do this for everyone. Tell us where you are in this great big world of ours.
I am in Colorado.
I've had so many people from Colorado on my shows lately. I must be the best people in the world there or something, because I get to talk to
people.
I like
to think so.
There you go. How long have you been in Colorado?
Oh, gosh. Probably about 10 years now.
Nice.
Right around there, yeah.
Okay, so it sounds, every time I talk to somebody from Colorado, it sounds beautiful. What do you love so much about where you live?
Oh, I think it's got to be the same for most people. We're so close to the mountains. There's tons of outdoor things to do. I love paddleboarding, hiking, just getting out on walks. And, you know, from my porch, I can see the mountains here. I'm 20 minutes from the reservoir. I've got hiking trails 10 minutes away. So everything's kind of a nice little bubble. And then there's the city if you ever want city living for a little bit too. So you get the best of everything.
Sounds like a nice balance. And if you're an outdoors person, it sounds like a beautiful place to be. And there's so much variety too. Like, you don't just have the beach, which I'm not complaining, but you can also then go to the mountains and see everything. That's awesome. Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great place to live. Definitely recommend moving here or visiting if you have never been.
There you go. Awesome. And if you need a tutor when you're out there, or that someone too. To help you with their copywriting, there's somebody right here who is really good at that. Can you tell me a little bit about your background? There's a lot of tech in your background and a lot of helping and supporting people. Can you tell us a little bit about what you've done so far?
Yeah, for sure. So I was a middle school math teacher for 6 years before I decided that I wanted to leave education. And I got out right before COVID hit, which I felt very lucky for. It was 2019 when I left. And then I started tutoring on the side because, you know, I had all these skills from teaching, and math is kind of a high stress, high stakes subject for a lot of families. So I started tutoring students then, and now my day job is in tech, and then my side hustles are tutoring and then also doing a bit of copywriting on the side. And so I've been copywriting now for a year or so, and I work on a little bit of everything. So taking a step back, if you don't know what copywriting is, it's not like the legal copywriting, it's writing words for someone's website, for their emails, for brochures that they have. Some people think it's like legal copyright, and I'm like, that's not quite what I do. But I work with people who are launching online courses or launching online products to help build their email marketing and their sales pages. And so that's the other side hustle that I've got going right now.
Beautiful. So for your copywriting side, who is your ideal client? Who do you have, like, a certain genre or niche or area that you focus on with copywriting, or are you pretty broad-based and you touch all different types of business?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I don't have a specific niche in terms of content. So I'm not looking only for, you know, finance or only for tech or only for X, Y, or Z. But the niche is more the type of copy that I write, which are sales pages and email marketing. So very specific to, like, online course creators who are launching their product or their course or relaunching. Maybe they've revamped it. They now have a new audience that's, you know, warmer leads, hotter leads that they're looking to engage with more. So that's sort of the niche that I took, as opposed to a niche with a subject.
Okay. All right. So for somebody launching something big, as far as a side hustle, you have your 9-to-5 and you're doing something on the side and you have this big project, you have a website, you know, it's coming, and you're really excited about it. And you're looking to write copy that really draws in a reader, draws in somebody who follows you or finds you online. What are some of the tips and things that you see from your perspective that make for good copywriting, that really bring people in and capture people's attention in such a busy world?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, it kind of comes down to having a bit of a sales side to it, but having a person first sales approach in my eyes. Okay. So you're not just looking to throw your product and here's all the features and look, it's great, you're going to love it. You need to really get people to see themselves with the end product and see themselves in their pain points. How is your product or your course going to solve that, right? So you could have a brilliant product or brilliant app or brilliant course, but if you're just telling people, I have X, Y, and Z in this course, they're like, okay, great, doesn't matter to me. But if you say, oh, are you feeling tired? Are you frustrated? Are you looking to grow to a six-figure business? Are you, you know, trying to tap into those pain points? You know, maybe someone has tried 6 different courses before on budgeting and they still can't budget. So why is this course going to be different for them? Sure, maybe there's templates and spreadsheets and budget trackers set up for them, but they've gotten all of that before. So what is it about you as the course creator or product creator and what you are offering that is really going to like hit that emotion side of someone where they can actually see themselves growing from this?
So what you're telling me then, Tara, is that even when I start a side hustle and whatever that is, if I'm going to start a podcast or I'm going to write a book or whatever, and I create my business, my idea, and I tell 5 people about my idea, and then I sit and wait for people to come find me, that's not going to happen. I have to actually do something about this and get out in front of people and market, because I'm not salesy. Sorry, I don't like to tell people about my business.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know, from my perspective, if you don't have an audience to sell to, you have a really nice hobby, I guess.
Totally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people get in that mindset of, I want to sell, but I don't want to sound salesy. Mm-hmm. And in their head, if you are even mentioning that you have a business or a service, that's salesy. And it's not, right? Like, you can provide a lot of great content and a lot of great resources for people without being salesy and give them all of the information and then empower that person to choose if you are the right person for them. And, you know, a big part of sales pages at times and with online marketing, it's, this is great for person A, but if you're person B, it's not good for you. And I think that when a course creator or, you know, a copywriter who's writing for a course creator says that, people are like, oh, they're not just trying to sell to everyone. They actually have an audience that this is not for. So if I fall into that audience, this product isn't for me. And people start to resonate with that too, because they're like, wow, this person's pretty honest. And they're saying, hey, I'm really looking for people who are, you know, females in their 30s, who are entrepreneurs, who are not making 6 figures and want to. So if you are 21 and you've never had a business before or X, Y, or Z, this isn't really going to be geared towards you. And so I think that kind of got a little bit off from your original question, but in terms of like, you know, you need to talk about your product. You need to be okay talking about it. And you also need to be okay saying, this isn't going to be for everyone. And that's fine.
That's a scary thing to say though, right? Because I want everyone to buy my book, buy my product, listen to my podcast, whatever that is. You want everyone to experience it. And you can't imagine saying, okay, for this group of people, no, it's not for you. Oh, but you know, like, I can't imagine saying that out loud, but it's true. You really do have to know exactly who you're talking to. Otherwise, who are you talking to if you don't know who they are, right?
Totally, yeah. And there's kind of this idea that I often kick through my head. And when I'm talking with clients, if they say, hey, my audience is this person and this person and this person. I'm like, okay, we need to narrow it down to one. We can't have three, because when you cast a wide net, you risk not talking to anyone at all, because everything that you say is way too general, right? So again, think about, like, if there's a course that's created for nurses who are working nights and they are also a new mom, right? That's very specific. Yeah. You can see yourself in that. You're, wow, I am a nurse working nights. I am a new mom. This is a lot to manage. Okay, this person is going to really get it, versus here's a course just for new moms working any job who, you know, here's the way to make it work.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's way more general then. And so you might get people to join your course, but it might not resonate as much with people as that really specific niche. And I think, like you said, some people are scared to really niche down to that, like, minute detail.
Right.
But you end up with people who are so much more, like, happy and willing to pay for your content, because, like, this is exactly where I see myself. Holy cow, this is what I needed, you know?
It's interesting, because you just, I don't know if you even caught what you said, because you actually did an amazing commercial sales copy in that statement and that answer. And I'm just going to rewind the tape for everyone, because what you did was so smooth and cool how you did that. You said, when I work with clients, blah, 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 blah. And just by the word, by you saying, when I work with clients, told me that you work with clients. So I can work with you.
Yeah.
Now you've opened the door to go, oh, what's it like to work with this person? Because apparently they have clients. So you didn't say, hey, everyone, I have a business ABC and I'm now accepting clients. You just said, when I work with clients, and you just brought me in as a potential customer for what you do just by saying the words, well, when I talk to this client, for example, I help them in this way. And then this client over here, I did this for them. It's like, I know you're sharing stories about what you do, but you just open the door to say, hey, I think I could hire this person to help me. That's a commercial without sounding salesy.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, maybe someone resonates with what I was saying, and they're like, hey, that does make sense. I've been trying to write or trying to target, you know, this big, wide audience. And actually what I need to do is narrow down. But how do I start narrowing that piece down? And yeah, I didn't even notice that I was saying it, though. But but you're totally right. It's that offering a little bit of insight that maybe will stick with someone. And, you know, then I would to work with them, hopefully.
See, yeah, and that's a lot different than, okay, everyone, coming up after the break, we're going to talk about A, B, and C, and now a commercial. And we're all like, oh, I can see people right now reaching for their phones, like, oh, where's that skip button, right?
Yep.
Like, oh, here we go. I just want to hear more about the copywriting. And they're like, now I got to sit through a commercial for a mattress. They're like, oh.
Yeah.
Right? But the fact that we can blend it into our conversation without even really saying, I'm going to be salesy right now, it's just, this is who I am. This is what I do. And it just comes out in my regular conversation that I help people. You know, and that's the best way to do sales, I think, because it feels like, at no point when you were talking did I feel like you were selling to me, that you have clients. And that's what I'm hoping for as people try to get out there and share their side hustles with people, is you don't have to be salesy. You can just bring it up in regular conversation and people are like, oh, you have a side hustle and you do A, B, and Z. Oh, wow, that's great. I know somebody who would really benefit from what you do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I do think some people are scared to just mention what they do, you know, and like I said, mentioning it and actually speaking it into existence, I think it can feel scary. And again, like you said, they're afraid of sounding salesy. But if someone were to ask me, what do you do for a job? I would say, hey, my 9-to-5 is in tech. And then I'm also building this, you know, side hustle of copywriting. Well, okay, the 9-to-5 in tech, great. But, oh, you're building a side hustle? Cool. Where do you find the time to do that? How do you do it? You know, and it opens up all these questions. What is copywriting? Who are you looking to work with? And I feel like it, you know, I've had some great conversations with people just mentioning it, not really looking to get much from it, but they're more interested in that piece than in, cool, you work for in tech. Great, great. Okay, moving on.
Yeah.
What's the really more like interesting part? What's the juicy piece?
Yeah. So what kind of things do you learn by having a side hustle that you can then take back to your regular 9-to-5 job and your employer that make you more promotable or grab the attention of people who are your leaders at work? What does having a side hustle teach you?
Time management is a big one.
Nice.
You know, so if I work 9-to-5, or sometimes I do like an 8-to-4 shift for my day job, if I'm working evenings on my side hustle and I know I need to get this piece of writing out for this client by this date, well, I really need to plan my time so that I'm hopefully not working every single evening, you know, and pulling 12-hour days, so that I'm spreading that time out and being a little bit more disciplined with that. And I think that has translated quite well into my day job as well. Just saying, okay, I've got 2 hours to get this task done. I'm going to crank through this. And I think that is seen by management. It's like, wow, you know, Tara's really staying on top of this piece. And how is she doing that? And, oh, she time blocked in her calendar. She, you know, made sure to hit all of these pieces before noon that day, or turned off all the notifications, whatever it was. So I think that that's one big thing. And then strong writing skills are always needed, I think, in any job. So whether it's tech like I'm working in, you could be a technical writer, you know, so you're writing articles to help make tech more accessible to the everyday person so that they understand your product. Whether you're in sales and you're sending emails to people and trying to write those emails again without sounding salesy, I think that both of those are huge pieces of, or what should I say, huge, like a huge impact that my writing has had on my 9-to-5 in that way.
Okay. So we talked about knowing who your audience is and who they aren't. How about for the topic of side hustles? How does somebody listening know if they would benefit from having a side hustle, whether or not they should pursue it? Because some people are like, they're interested in it, but they don't really know how they're going to carve out the time. So they're kind of on the fence whether or not they want to do the side hustle thing. How do we, as side hustlers, encourage people to either pursue a side hustle or say, you know what, in your situation right now, it's not going to work right now for you, so you're not really ready to have a side hustle? How do we make a determination as a listener if a side hustle is going to be good for us?
I think some of it is figuring out what side hustle you're actually considering doing. So if you're considering a side hustle of tutoring, for example, or your side hustle is going to be, you know, walking around and picking up dog poop for neighbors, like whatever it is, where you actually need to be physically in a spot at a certain time that you say you're going to be.
Okay.
I think that is way more constrained. And some people like that because it can easily fit into your schedule. And, you know, every Thursday at 5 o'clock, I go and I tutor until 6 o'clock and then I'm done. Boom, moving on with my day. Something like copywriting or online businesses, they're way more fluid. And you can choose the times that you want to work, which can be great. And you can choose the times that you want to work, which can also not be great for some people if they don't have that time management piece. Or, you know, sometimes you end up working way longer hours because it's your own business. And so there's no time exactly that I need to be somewhere. So sure, I can work on my website for 3 hours because I've got nothing else to do right now. So I think that if people are kind of trying to figure out if it's for them, that's one big question to figure out is, do you want the time constraint of, I'm going to be here for an hour, I told this person I'll show up at noon, I'll be there at noon, or do you want something that's a little bit more flexible? Yeah. And figuring out that to start, and then saying, okay, do I actually have time in my schedule to fit in an hour of tutoring, or an hour of picking up dog poop or cutting lawns or, you know, whatever that service is. I think that can help people kind of figure out, like, there's not just one side hustle fits all. And for some of them, give it a try. And if it doesn't work, you can always say, okay, that was too much. I really don't have the time right now. Or, okay, that side hustle wasn't right, but I liked having it built into my schedule and that extra income coming in. So maybe I'll just shift what I was doing and move to something else.
What is your motivation for having a side hustle? Is it financial? What's the reason why you have a side hustle even, or in addition to what you're doing on your 9 to 5?
I've got a few different motivations. The part is definitely financial. You know, it's nice to be able to have more money to save, to invest, to go on the vacations that I want to go on and do the things, while also being financially responsible and thinking about the future. And then the other part is I've always kind of had this entrepreneurial side to me. Like in second grade, I tried to start a school newspaper in second grade so that I could go see Spice World, because my dad wouldn't let me see Spice World. So I was like, oh, well, I'm going to find the money. And then,
yeah.
Yep. In fifth grade, we tried to start another school newspaper so I could afford a trip to Niagara Falls, as I think what the
that's where I live.
The thing was, exactly.
That's where I live. Yay.
And, you know, these things made $4 probably, or $5, but there was always that kind of possibility of like, oh, but it could make in my fifth grade head, I was like, wow, I could make thousands of dollars with this, you know, school newspaper that I'm selling for 25 cents. Holy cow, this is like the best idea ever. And so I think I've always kind of had that side to me that has wanted to work for myself, that kind of sees the potential of a side hustle growing into something that could eventually replace a 9 to 5 job. And so right now, I think that's more of my motivation, is I want to be my own boss. I want to set my own hours. I want the uncapped potential of a business to maybe start as one thing and then change and shift and grow to something different. Right. And right now, that's way more of my motivation. I think the financial side is great. I'm not going to complain about that piece, but really it's being able to just be in control of my day and my time and what I'm doing.
So I have to ask, did you ever make it to Niagara Falls?
I did not make it to Niagara Falls. No,
come on. You need to come and see us. It's great here. Yeah. It's like literally 10 minutes from my house. So,
oh, wow.
Big hill, lots of water. Everyone loves it. So it's really
there you go.
There you go. You got to do that. You got to do that. Put that on the calendar for sure. That's great. So, okay. So tell me about, at the time of recording, your website is just being finalized and everything's going to be all sweet and just the way you like it, seeing that you are a copywriter. I'm sure you have a lot of your hand in there for sure. Tell me about what your dream is, what your hope is for your website, so that we can kind of talk about that in the future tense as well, and let people know about what they'd find when they come to your website.
Yeah. So my thought with my website is, you know, done is better than not done. So just get it out there, put it into the universe, say, okay, it's live, even if I'm still working on it and changing little things as I go. So eventually what I would love for it to be is a place for people to be able to download some freebies that I'll have for copywriting, for their course checklists, things like that. And then I would also love to be able to highlight the different types of copywriting that I do, just so that anyone who finds my website can say, oh, I don't really know what conversion copywriting is. Oh, here's like a little, you know, paragraph on what this is. Hey, I actually do need that. Or, oh, I think my friend needs this thing done for them. So having just that information of the different types of copy, I think is important, because it's not always something that people are familiar with. And I would love, like, you know, the design to be nice and aesthetic and beautiful looking and all of that. So eventually that will be coming.
Nice. So you talked about when you work with clients. I mean, I'm going back to your little commercial that you put in there so subtly and so nicely. Tell me about the clients that you're looking to work with in the future. Who would be one of your ideal clients that you're like, oh, I would love to work with this type of business or person or that kind of thing? Who are you looking to work with?
Yes, the big one is online course creators. So anyone who has made any type of online course, in particular, people who have made a course, they have launched it, and now they're looking to maybe relaunch. Maybe things are looking a little bit stale on their sales page or their emails. They may have not had as many people signing up recently, so they're just looking to kind of revamp that. Typically, people who are relaunching a course have had students in their course before, so there's a little bit more social proof, which you can really pull from and play nicely on with a sales page, because you can say, hey, you know, this person took your course and they said X, Y, and Z about it. Great. That's a perfect little snippet. Let's use that on your sales page to help someone who's already been in the course sell your course to someone else. Another way of sales without sounding salesy, right? Okay. And so anyone who's looking to relaunch a course, if you're launching for the first time too, great. Like, I'm always happy to help with that as well. But that's more so the type of people that I'm looking for. And as well, I'm super interested in personal finance. I just kind of find that world fascinating. So if I don't really have a niche in terms of content right now, like I was saying earlier, but anyone in personal finance is always someone that I follow a lot of that content myself. And so I feel like I've got some background knowledge on that. So it makes it a little bit easier to write.
I love that you know your audience. I know you know who you want to serve and who benefit from your services. See, like that to me sounds like somebody who's well thought through and you understand what you offer and who your best client is. I love that. That's great because you're not chasing after everyone, right?
Right. Yeah. Because again, when you try to chase everyone, you end up with no one, you know, so you really got to keep it narrow, keep it focused so that people know what they're looking for. And often people are then willing to pay someone or willing to pay more because they know, hey, this person really specializes in this one thing. The same way that someone would hire me for copy, that's very specific. Someone who's looking for a course is going to go to someone who's very specific with what they need.
Yeah. Okay. What else can we talk about as far as the side hustle? Any words of inspiration for somebody who is at the beginning stages of thinking of starting a side hustle and maybe they're going to be a tutor like you have been doing in your past or something like that? Is there any suggestions or tips that you can give to a listener about just the actual starting of a side hustle?
Yeah. So I still stand by, you know, something is better than nothing. Right. Put something out there so that people know where to find you or what you do, whether it's a website that's not completely done yet, whether it's talking it out to someone, putting a sign up somewhere in your town that you're doing X, Y, or Z, just getting it out there to start. Yeah. And then, you know, in particular for things like tutoring, sometimes it's thinking a little bit outside the box. You know, I found people through care.com, which is like a caregiver website that also has a tutoring piece to it. So I found a couple clients that way. And I think I had to pay for a background check because it is with kids. So they make you do your background check and then you can message people and go from there. I've hung signs around town for tutoring, put signs in the library, local bookstores and such just to get my name out there. And then you could see if, you know, local middle schools or elementary schools are okay with you hanging up a sign for whatever you're doing. When I was in high school, I found a babysitting job because a mom had just hung up a sign in our high school, grabbed her phone number, worked with that family for years. So doing things like that. And you don't need a ton of clients to start too, right? Your side hustle can be you tutor one person one time a week. Great. And then maybe mention to that family, hey, I'm looking for more people. If you know anyone that might need someone to help their kid tutor X, Y, or Z, you know, let them know. And then they can start kind of marketing for you. And so I think that those are kind of my tips. Just get out and start doing what you say you're going to do or start advertising yourself in that way.
Yeah.
And then finding maybe some unconventional ways to try to find those first few clients.
The other thing I've had people reach out and ask me questions about is how to value themselves, like how to put a dollar amount on their service, on what they offer. And like, I'm afraid to go too high or go way too low. Because if I go too low, somebody's gonna be like, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound like somebody I want to trust my copywriting to because they're really cheap. Like, I don't understand. Mm-hmm. Or, oh my gosh, how could you think I could ever afford that? You're way beyond the regular standard for your industry. Any tips on how to value yourself? Because I think that's something that people struggle with a lot, starting a side hustle.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely something tricky to balance because I've been in that same mindset before of I don't want to undervalue myself and I don't want to come up with a number and someone say, whoa, that is way too high. I think there's a few things. One, figuring out who your target audience is. So if you're, you know, if I were to try to target course creators who currently have 20,000 students enrolled, well, they're probably looking for a sales page that they can afford a much, you know, more expensive copywriter than what I offer, right? So they're like not even really looking at me. So that's one thing. So looking at who your audience is and kind of what's that sweet spot where like that they can afford, who's their avatar? What are they making? How much is their sales page bringing in? All of those pieces. Or for tutoring, you know, like looking at demographics of your town that you're in. So what's that median income? All of that, looking at that piece. The other thing is, you know, just people can say no to your rate if they want to. So like on care.com, when I was reaching out to people for tutoring, they had said, we're looking for someone, you know, for between whatever, $15 and $20 an hour. And if I said, okay, well, I'm charging 40 or whatever it was, they can say no. They don't have to go with me. But if they like all of my experience, then they can say, okay, actually, yes, we're willing to pay that. And same thing for copywriting. I send a proposal to someone that has my numbers on it. And if they say no, okay, then that's fine. They just weren't the client for me. And I think it's some of that abundant mindset too, that there's always going to be people who need your service out there. And just because one person said no, doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with your rate. It's just that they might've not been the right person. And now with copywriting, the other thing that's easier for me is that I've done some research into what's the average range for copywriters in beginning stages, you know, the first year, what about the next 2 to 3 years, what about 3 to 5 years and 5 years plus? And there's all these kind of average ranges for that. So I chose a rate in there and then I just estimate how long a project will take me. And then it's just multiplication, you know, my rate times 3 hours. Here's how much I'm going to charge you for this. You can say yes or no, but you know, that's taken a lot of the anxiety out of the pricing piece because I have a math equation now. You know, I taught math. So yay, now I have a math equation that I can use. And it's a lot easier to give that to someone. And if they question it, I can say, first of all, I don't have to say anything because I don't feel like I need to justify a price to someone typically, but say, I think it's going to take me 3 hours. My rate is X amount of money. That's how I came up with this number. And I think when people see that, then they're like, oh, okay, this makes more sense.
Yeah. Like, it's like, if you equate it to like somebody like a handyman or a handywoman coming to your house to do electrical work, you have an electrician coming and they've been an electrician for a week and a half. Okay. Yeah. They're brand new. They've done all the education, but their practical skills are very limited. And a task would take them 2 hours to complete. And their rate is, I don't know, $40 an hour for two hours because they're still learning how to do what they've studied. Compare that to an electrician that's been doing it for 45 years who can do the same task that would take a new person 2 hours. They can do it in 15 minutes because they have 45 years of experience. Yep. Does not mean that you pay them less because it took them less time.
Right.
You're paying for the 45 years of experience.
Exactly.
And the fact that they did in 15 minutes, that's irrelevant because they're just really good at what they do because it's second nature. So you have a math teacher who's teaching, who's tutoring math compared to a tutor who's learning math tutoring. There's a difference there. So I'm going to pay you more to tutor my student than I might pay someone else because of your background and who you are. So value that, include that in your rate. I love that.
Yeah, totally. And I think with rates too, they don't have to stay the same, right? So like that electrician that you said, okay, after they've been working maybe for 6 months or a year, they feel okay raising their rates because now they have some social proof and some experience to back them up. And so, you know, every 6 months or so, I look back and say, okay, do my rates still make sense? You know, now we've got inflation, we've got all these other pieces. Am I driving to a job that I'm doing? You know, all of that stuff can change that. And I've never had someone say, oh, you're raising your rates. Never mind. We can't work with you anymore. They've always been more than happy to say, yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense. You know, we've been at the same rate for 6 months or for a year, and it is probably time to raise that.
Okay. Yeah. Because I think the opposite happens too, where you put something in front of somebody and say, here's my rate to do copywriting, and they look at it and go, oh, you're like, oh, well, I'll give you a discount. You know, it's like immediately you go to that because you want that sale, you want that person to buy what you do, and you want to be accepted. So you start backtracking and you start reducing your value, and that's not good either.
No, and I haven't quite had that experience yet, although I've definitely thought through it in my head a lot oh my gosh, what if I click send them the proposal and I'm like, what if they say no to this? Holy cow. But you know, I'm part of a few different copywriting groups online, and those people have really instilled it in me to hold true to your numbers and hold true to your value for yourself. And if someone says no, okay, they say no. And again, you can find another client and move on. If you're brand new and just starting out and looking just to get one person under your belt to say, you know, it takes like writing for one person to call yourself a copywriter, right? You can write one blog for someone and say, oh yeah, now I'm a copywriter. So if you need to potentially value yourself a little bit lower for that, charge a little bit less just because you're brand new starting out looking for that first person, okay, maybe you need to do that for one or two clients. And then you can again go in and adjust and, you know, raise your rates once you have a little bit more experience under your belt. But I'm typically not a fan of the discount in that sense, unless if it came from a referral from someone, you know, hey, I heard about you from this person, and now they're going to get a referral because it was a social proof from someone else who was selling your service for you without you even being there.
Nice. I love it. Okay. So again, share us again the website and again, who you're looking to work with. Let's plug, because I want to support you. And like you did before, again, I was going to say it again, you work with clients and it came out very clear. Just again, who you want to work with, who in the future you would love to have come to you and services you offer. Let's plug away and let's send people your way. I really appreciate you having you on the podcast.
Yeah. Thank you. So you can find me at TCF, like Frank, copy.com. My email address is there. Looking to work with anyone who is launching an online course or who has launched and is looking to maybe redo their sales page or any of their email marketing. I do some blog posts and some about pages and whatnot for websites, but really looking more so to focus on those course creators online.
Beautiful. So if you're a side hustler and you want to support a fellow side hustler, make sure you go to the show notes and you'll find all the links to everything we're talking about here. And go and support a fellow side hustler. Let's all stick together, everyone, and help each other.
Yes. I love that.
And if you need help with your copywriting, you need somebody to help you with your math homework. Here you go. You have the right person right here. Thank you so much for being part of the podcast. Great to have you here.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
Hey parents, if you're anything like me, balancing screen time for our kids is a constant struggle. That's why I want to share a little secret with you. KidsPod, a revolutionary app where podcasts aren't just for adults anymore. KidsPod offers a treasure trove of kid-friendly podcasts, making it super easy and safe for your little ones to explore, learn, and be entertained without staring at a screen. And the best part? It's completely free to download. Empower their imagination and curiosity with content that's made just for them. Download the KidsPod app today, because podcasts are for kids too.